Dr. Samantha Heller's Health and Nutrition Show right here on SiriusXM 110 Doctor Radio. We are in the heart of NYU Langone Health in New York City, and I hope you are having a fabulous day today. I hope your week went well. And just remember, just because one or two or even three things are sucking, not going well, or difficult, it doesn't mean everything is. So try to keep perspective. Look for the things in the day that went well. Look for the things you can enjoy. Maybe a tree is starting to flower near your house. You see the daffodils coming up, or it's a sunny day, or you had a nice chat with a friend, or you drank some water, which is good for you. Every little thing we do helps us appreciate the day, the world we live in, and our bodies. So we're staying focused on that here, at least on my show on Doctor Radio. I want to welcome you back and welcome my next guest, who is, you know, a regular here on Doctor Radio and always has fabulous information and also just a wonderful person and a friend of mine. Caroline Blazovsky is joining us. She is our very own healthy home expert for over 20 years. She's been helping homeowners and physicians diagnose problems that may be lurking in our homes. She's developed a national reputation as one of the top home consultants in the country, and home and business as well. And she can help us look around our homes and get them healthy to help reduce risk of allergies and all kinds of things that happen. You can check out her website, healthyhomeexpert.com. You can follow her on Twitter at Healthy Home Expert and Instagram at Healthy Home Expert. Oh, on Twitter, it's Healthy Home Exp. Or is it Expert? Caroline, welcome to the show. Hi.
Hi, how are you? Long time no talk.
I know. I'm so happy to hear your voice. Everything's going well?
Yeah, we're a lot of exciting things happening, so I think it's a good time for us to chat, for sure.
Well, let's talk about the exciting things. What? Tell me.
Well, we have new technology to fight COVID-19 and SARS-CoV-2 in our homes. It came out last month.
Cool. But the filter I have is still good, right?
Of course. UVC technology, which Samantha has, is excellent. But we've got even better technology that is called heated HEPA filtration now. It's the latest thing, and we are so happy to be a part of it. It's very cool.
Wow. So, and is it something homeowners can afford? Is it something we need to buy? Should we continue? I guess as the variants come along, maybe it's something we need to. So it's an air filter, and we buy it and we put it in our homes. Tell us a little bit about it.
It's an integrated viral protection system that is been tested and designed, one, to work against COVID-19 in particular, but also to protect us with future pandemics. They actually tested it against anthrax in a laboratory. There's a giant lab called the Galveston National Lab, for people who don't know what that is. And it's an infectious disease and pathogen lab. It's one of the best labs in the country, and they test all these diseases that we are a little bit afraid of, right? Anthrax, Ebola, COVID-19. And so some technology came out of Texas A&M by a gentleman named Manzer Hirani, who invented this heated HEPA filtration. And you know HEPA, and you can explain it to your audience what HEPA filtration is, because you're kind of familiar with that, I believe.
Mm-hmm. Well, you more so than I, but yes.
And HEPA filtration is a thick filter. It's called a high-efficiency particulate air filter, and we usually think about them with our purifiers, right? So when people go to get an additional purifier for an office or their home, they'll get one that has HEPA. Well, this technology has HEPA, but it also has heat. And so this ingenious man invented something where they embedded a mesh into this HEPA filter, if you will, in layman's term. And it allows it to get up to 400 degrees temperature. And so what that means for COVID-19 is that, or SARS-CoV-2, when it comes into the filter, it's eliminated in one pass, destroyed. The heat, obviously, is its vulnerability, and it gets rid of it. Amongst other things, they also tested it against anthrax. And what I like about this technology, and you know me, I'm a fusspot when it comes to things. I don't just get behind something or even talk about something unless it truly has the science behind it. And what was wonderful is that they did test it with active virus, which is not an easy thing to do.
Yeah.
And they also tested it in a hospital setting, which I really liked. So it's amazing. It's something that just came out this month where people are going to be able to start to get it. And, you know, that's great for your listeners and also just for people in general.
And my guess is it would kill a lot of viruses, right? Like
yes.
even, or I, maybe we can't say because we don't have data, but things like the common cold and the flu and things like that, maybe it may help reduce the spread of that in our homes. But we still have to wash our hands.
That's why they designed, exactly.
Yeah.
So surface contact is different than aerosol and airborne. So when we're
right.
talking about airborne or things, which happens to be my area of expertise, you know, when we're dealing with this, we know that, you know, in the future, we're going to have to deal with probably other issues, right? So whether
yeah.
it's flu, whether it's anthrax, whether it's biologicals. So this is designed to help prevent us moving forward. And it can also be used at a mobile unit, but it can also, the technology can be used in your HVAC system. So you can actually install this technology within the HVAC, which is really important, you know, when I'm looking at how to solve problems in buildings and homes and things like that.
Yeah, yeah. Because that's, you know, that's it. That HVAC is, that's our access to air and circulation. So let's talk about spring, which is supposedly coming, but right now it's really cold in New York and where you are too.
A little silly.
And we've been inside even more. What are some of the first steps we can take to springify our homes and reduce our risk of allergies and stuffiness and colds and, you know, all that kind of stuff that spring brings with it, as much as I love spring?
So we're on HVAC, so we'll stick with that. So it's time to get your ducts clean. That's very important. And also when they're out there, it's important if you go with a NADCA certified duct cleaning company, which I like, and that's NADCA, and you can go onto a website wherever you are and they'll have NADCA certified duct cleaning companies in your area. It's very important to get one that is certified. Make sure they put a camera in there, take a look around your ducts. It's what I call the colonoscopy for your home. So we have, I've got some tests that we need you to do. So we do what we call our colonoscopy. We put a tube up, we look around inside your ductwork. We look for mold. We look to see if you have any breaks, if you have a lot of dust, debris. Also check your heat exchanger. We look in the HVAC system, your coil, to see if you have mold growth. So doing this once every couple years is really key, and springtime is always the best time right before the air conditioning goes on. Because if you do have mold in your coil or you have anything that's kind of growing in there, you don't want to be putting it out. You're going to be susceptible to it with the water that comes off the coil and the condensation. So important
right.
time to do duct cleaning for sure. That should all get done.
Oh, you always tell me things I think, oh, now I need to do this. I have a house that's old. It was built in 1936, and it's got these old ducts, you know, that go through the house, these sort of air vents that you see on the bottom, you know, by the floor.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm guessing that there's quite a bit of dust in there that I should have someone. How do they do that? Do they stick in like some weird long tubey vacuum kind of thing?
It's kind of amazing. So that's why you want to go with the NADCA certified. It's
yeah.
15,000 CFM. So they come with what looks almost like a mini fire truck, if you will, a big truck, and they're pushing a lot of CFM through. They hook a hose up at one end and another hose at the other. So, you know, they're collecting while they're pushing through air. And they just blow everything out and clean it out. And they have these little whips that kind of go in there and shake everything up and get everything out. And it's tremendous. I mean, it really, really works. I know when we purchased a home personally, my mom had cat allergies, and there was a cat that, you know, the previous owners had a cat. So I'd cleaned everything, painted, and she came in and she started sneezing. And I'm like, you can't be. I'm like, how can you be sneezing in here? She's like, I am. So, you know, that was the last thing that we hadn't done. And we did the ducts, and she was like fine after. So it really is important to get all that out of there, you know, whether you have proteins or dander or dust mites and, you know, building materials. They, especially in a new build, people think they don't need it, but they throw a lot of things down in the HVAC. The contractors like to throw lunch down there sometimes. And
oh, dear.
So you need to, they throw a lot. So you need to check it out and definitely get it done. It's springtime. This is a great time to do it. And they have a lot of specials too. You know, you can save 10%. People in the tri-state area, there's a company we use called Air Duct Cleaning Solutions. They'll give you 10% off if you mention My Healthy Home. So that's always good. So anybody can call up and get their ducts cleaned.
Little quackers. That's such a good point about going into a new home. And right now, at least in the Northeast, I'm not sure about other parts of the country, but there's a lot of people jumping ship out of the cities, certainly out of New York, and moving into the country. And the real estate market is kind of booming for people wanting to sell their homes. And so when you go to a home, I mean, when I've only ever bought one house, and I know I had to have the radon evaluated and the asbestos checked, and they actually had to mediate that because there was some asbestos wrapped around a pipe in the basement. What else should we look for when we're buying a home? I think there's so many things that don't even occur to us, like duct cleaning.
This is a very important topic right now, especially people who are coming out from the city and cities in general to suburbs. And what's happening is a lot of people are coming out there to their location. They're looking at a property out in the suburbs. It economically seems, oh, this is much cheaper, right? So a lot of the homes are going much over asking price, bids are higher. The problem you have is when you're not familiar with an area, you may be in a flood zone, you may be in a damp lot, and you're not seeing that, right? So when you see it, it looks dry, but you're going to come into springtime and all of a sudden the basement floods. It is of dire importance, and we have seen this over and over again in the last year, people getting into homes and not realizing the potential problems. You could have a mold issue. That has to be checked. You should do an environmental inspection when you're buying a property. That should be a must. So you hire either an environmental company or some home inspectors actually do mold testing. So make sure you get a mold test. And make sure you're checking water. Water is key. So especially in some states, you know, you'll have water regulation and others you won't. So you need to make sure that regardless you're testing it because it's something that's going to cost you money on the back end. And you want to make sure that, you know, when you get into it, you know what the problem is. It's much better to know about it and be willing to accept that problem than to find out, oh, surprise, now we have a mold issue and a water issue and septic.
Yeah, when I moved into my house, of course, I had never bought a house. I didn't know anything about buying houses. I was like absolutely ridiculously clueless. And the inspector in the basement that had been finished and is now not finished said, you know, there is some evidence that there's been water down here, that, you know, that this basement has leakage. And the owner said, no, you know, we've never had water down there. But you could see when he was pointing to where it was. And so what we ended up doing is I put in a what they call a French drain outside the house, along that wall, you know, outside external wall to the basement. And I had water in the basement once about 15 years ago. So, you know, you can mitigate when you do that. But if you have an inspector who shows you or you're really thoughtful about what you're looking for, because I wouldn't have known. And then they're saying, well, there might be mold. So then they rip down all the walls in the basement saying there might be mold, but there wasn't. But now I have to find the money to put, you know, to redo the basement, which in the last 15 years I have not found. But at least I can keep track on whether there's water in my basement. But you're right. I think, you know, I didn't know. I didn't know what to look for.
That's right. And also, it's better for you, actually, you know, an unfinished basement, especially in certain parts of the country where we're prone to four seasons. It is always my recommendation to have an unfinished basement. People like to do it because it gives them a living space. But you have to remember, you're living under the ground with combustibles and things that are not healthy to breathe in. And also the potential for mold exists. So trying to keep an unfinished basement is much healthier.
Oh, so I did something right. Yay. It's good that I didn't refinish it. It's a small, as I said, the house was built in 1936. So it's small and the ceilings are low and, you know, all the pipes are exposed. So, you know, what else can we do to sort of do our spring home cleaning? We have duct cleaning. We have, you know, when we move into a new home, we want to check everything that you had suggested. But for those of us that are staying put, what are some simple things we can do?
So, of course, we're doing duct cleaning. We're changing all the filters on the HVAC system, and we're going to do windows. We're going to make sure we're taking the windows, washing the screens. You know, you can take just a vinegar and water solution and just wipe your screens. Because what happens when you open the windows, you get all this debris and particulate that builds up from pollution, from cars, from you know, trees, pollen, all that stuff. So it basically comes in and pollutes your air. So you want to really keep all those windows especially clean and then make sure all your screens are clean too. It's that due diligence we don't like to hear about, but this is a great time of year to do it for sure.
Oh my gosh. Now I have to do everything you're saying because you're always right. And you're always telling me things I need to do. Folks, if you are just tuning in, you're listening to us at Sirius XM 110 Doctor Radio. I am speaking with your healthy home expert, Caroline Blazofsky. We're talking about how to springify our homes. What we need to do is spring is coming to help reduce our risk of allergies and rashes and reactions and just get our homes nice and clean. And some of the things you have to spend a little money on and some of them you can do yourself. But if you have questions about how to have a healthy home, give us a call. Our phone lines are open, and Caroline always has great answers to your questions, and she loves to hear from you, as do I. 877-NYU-DOCS. That's 877-698-3627. And you can email us at docs@siriusxm.com. We'd love to hear your questions and concerns and answers. You know, I know, Caroline, one of the things, you know, I always have these great take-home messages whenever you're on the show and we speak. And one of the things that a take-home message that has really stuck with me is not to buy scented products, scented yes. candles, scented dryer sheets, scented, you know, shampoos still sort of will have a scent, but go for as much unscented products as you can. And I bring that up because I think a lot of people are unaware of that. Can you explain why and in what products we'll find these kinds of scents that we want to limit?
Sure. So we hear about volatile organics or VOX or VOCs, and mostly we associate that with paint. Paint, we hear low VOC, no VOC paint. But every personal product that you bring into your home, or almost every product that you bring into your home in general, from building materials to personal products to soaps, detergents, all of those things produce a chemical, or it leaks out of the bottle. And people say, well, it's sealed. It doesn't, but it does. So even if you have a can of paint, for example, and it's sitting in the corner, I tell my clients, you can't store paint in the house. If you do, your VOC levels get high. This can cause things like fogginess, neurologic conditions, breathing issues. So you really have to be careful about what you're storing because they're leaching all the time. So with that being said, natural things can also contribute to VOCs. So people often like to store essential oils and they'll say, well, it's natural, but natural things are VOCs. So for example, D-limonene is your citrus. So a lot of citrus-based products, we see a lot of people with the disinfection wipes now. That's a big one. They store them, they go to, you know, the Costco and they buy a huge big bulk and they store it in the house. And this can really add to your VOC levels, and especially if you're using them. So these things, just because they have a natural scent or an unnatural scent, synthetic, it's still bad. So you want to try to minimize these things in the house as much as possible so you don't get these levels up too high. And then, you know, a lot of these VOCs are also carcinogenic. So, you know, we've got multifaceted reasons for not wanting to have them there.
Yeah, I used to always buy scented candles. Yeah, I was a massage therapist for many, many, many years, and I thought it just made a nice atmosphere when people came in to have a lavender or rosemary, whatever it was, scented candle I had. But, you know, I don't do massage anymore, but ever since, you know, you started coming on the show, I kind of buy nothing scented anymore. And I certainly don't miss it. And I feel like I'm being healthier because it's what Caroline told me to do. Do whatever yes. you tell me to do.
And you can, and I allow people, you can do 15 minutes. So I say to you, if you want to do 15 minutes a day of a natural scent, I would prefer, you know, you could do a little lemon and water. You could do a little cinnamon stick. You can do, I mean, even a little of oil. Just don't go over that 15 minutes, and especially don't heat oil. So when you heat them, they actually become into a very small molecular formula, very small, can go into a vapor and actually go into your lungs. And once they cool off and solidify, they can actually really affect breathing issues and cause significant damage. So don't do that. Don't heat an oil up. That's a real bad thing. So just use it in its natural state.
Well, and this is what was one of the big problems with vaping, is there was apparently some sort of preservative type of vitamin E oil they were using, which gets vaporized or aerosolized when you heat it. And then it was getting into people's lungs and in essence congealing. And there were all kinds of lung related injuries from vaping. And that was super scary. I don't know why these manufacturers didn't know that was a problem when you know it's a problem.
Yeah, no, exactly. And it's the same with any kind of oil. If you heat it, you're changing the molecular structure of it. So, I mean, it's the same with any product. Like if you're using heat, you know, a lot of people who weld, right? Welding, some people do it for art, some people do it for a living. But when you actually heat metal, it allows vapors and fumes, and you can actually get disease states and actually flus that come from breathing in the vapor of the metal. So, you know, when you start to change things, consistency with heat and cooling, you know, you have to be careful.
You do have to be so careful. Let's talk about cleaning out our garages, because I think a lot of people use their garage as just, you know, like a giant junk drawer. for big things of junk. And as you said, there's paint cans and varnishes and cleaning supplies. And I think in my town in Connecticut, there's one day that you can bring your toxic waste someplace. But like, what do you do with it the rest of the year? How do you manage this? It's springtime. People are going to go in and, you know, clean out their kitty litter from their, you know, and their salt that they use on their driveways and such. So what are some good garage cleaning tips?
So the first is to remember that your garage is not conditioned space. So you are very prone to get mold growth, especially if you don't have a lot of ventilation. So you've got to make sure you're not storing things right up against the concrete walls, that you have some breathability in there. You don't want to, you know, a lot of people like to stockpile their garage, which is no good. Mm-hmm. Also, sometimes in houses, they'll actually have the furnace will be located in a garage. So if you don't have a lot of building space, a lot of the contractors may locate it there. And that becomes an issue not only because that is not a hermetically sealed system. So you can pull anything you're storing in through that system and blow it into the house, but also from a car's perspective, because you can pull in all kinds of exhaust. So, you know, in Canada, they actually recommend we do some type of ventilation in the garage. And as I've moved forward in my career, I recommend it a lot because we know when people start up cars, benzene exposure is a significant problem, and that an increase with attached garages also comes a higher leukemia risk. So it's very interesting that, you know, you have to think about when you're putting your car, when you're starting a car, don't keep a car idling in a garage for sure. And if you are going to have one in there, it's important. You can put a fan on. You can actually do an ERV or a ventilation fan in your garage to help pull those fumes out so they're not in. So don't store things, no paint cans. Make sure that you're keeping things, you know, get rid of clutter. If you haven't used it in 5 years, it goes out. Clutter contributes to dust mites. It contributes to all kinds of particulate pollution, which we know affects us. Particulate pollution, it changes gene states. It activates gene states like the APOE4 gene, which is the Alzheimer's gene. So we know it can activate. It can cause things to get significantly worse. So any kind of particulate or dusting you need to be able to clean in your garage, don't just use it as a clutter space and think it doesn't affect you, because it gets pulled right into the house. It's negative pressure. Even if you don't have a furnace in there, you're breathing that air.
That's such a great point. And I know that it's something that most people, it just doesn't even cross their mind that those fumes, those particulates can get into the house from attached garages. I think they just think it's my garage. It's a separate building. You know, my car is there. It should be fine. So I think you're sharing a lot of really important information for people who have homes where it just, you know, something just doesn't cross their mind. You know, it just seems natural and normal that my garage is here and it's fine. I will say I do clean my garage. It's not attached to my house again because it's such an old house. And my garage is tiny. Like if you don't pull your car in, and I only pull my car in the winter when I have to get it out of the way because of the snow. If I don't do it just right, then I can't open the door. I mean, that's how small my garage is.
That, well, but you're detached, right? You don't have
it attached. Yeah, it's detached.
Garage. Yeah, that's good. Detached. That's perfectly fine to store things in a detached garage, much better. But when we talk about attached, we've got fumes that, because of houses are built under negative pressure, we're constantly pulling that air in from the garage right into our living space. Mm-hmm. So it is not separate. If you're above it, you know, we've seen children have all kinds of developmental delays that have been on top of garage space. So you have to really, you know, don't be storing glyphosate, no Roundup. You don't want to store that. You don't want to store gasoline in there as well. Those things need to be stored outside in a shed or a detached garage for sure.
Speaking of Roundup, and people are starting to plant their spring flowers and getting their yards ready. My point of view is that we should just not use any kind of pesticide, herbicide, you know, fungicide, because it's not just making us have nice green grass and keeping the bugs away from our roses, but it's killing the birds and the animals, and it's going into the water supply. So I get very concerned about that. Again, I have a tiny little yard, but it's right connected to my neighbors, some of whom use pesticides on their lawns and such. As I've said before on the show, I don't think there's anything wrong with dandelions. I think they're pretty, and I'm perfectly fine with them. But what can we suggest to people who, you know, want to grow their flowers and don't want the bugs and want their grass to look perfect, but we don't want to use all of these toxic chemicals that get into the environment and have all kinds of unintended collateral effects?
Well, if you just type in on the internet, vinegar salt detergent solution for herbicide, It's a combination. You combine the three together. It works fantastic. We use it all the time. That you put in a sprayer, you know, and you'll just spray it over the weeds. You have to do it when it's sunny out because the sun helps activate it. Mm-hmm. So there are a lot of holistic things that you can use. I mean, we have quite a large garden, so we don't use any, you know, herbicide or pesticide, obviously, on the property. So you can do all these things. Sometimes it's a little more due diligence because you have to do weeding, which, you know, we don't like mm-hmm. to do. But unfortunately, sometimes you just can't get around it. But definitely look into more natural sources. We know that Roundup, I mean, personally, we've done testing at our company, and we know that these things travel. They end up in our ductwork. They end up in our filters. So when your neighbor uses something, we are not detached from each other. We are a community, and we transmit lots of things. Just like we transmit COVID-19, we transmit proteins and cat and dog and glyphosate and gasoline throughout, you know, the community, throughout our lives. So when one person gets exposed, they bring it to somebody else. So it's important to think about what you're doing, and it doesn't just affect you. You know, it does affect other people for sure.
And it does get into the water supply. They're like throwing out prescription drugs. People would flush them down the toilet. And then, you know, you have fish with three heads, and it's directly related to, you know, people flushing their prescriptions down the toilet. And it's just like, we have to be so careful. We want the benefits of this sort of industrialized world where we have medications that we need, and we have, you know, all kinds of great advantages, but we have to be so careful how we do that. As you know, you and I have been, you've been on my show, and we've talked about just vacuuming your home. Someone in my household, I won't say who, when I say, okay, it's time to vacuum, it's like, I just vacuumed. I'm like, no, that was a week ago. And there's two of us. And my friend Caroline says, you should vacuum for as many days a week as there are beings in your house, including creatures. So if you have two people and two dogs, you should vacuum 4 days a week, right?
Right, exactly. So that's like our little rule, right? So three people in the house and one dog, that's four. You have to be vacuuming four times a week. And it's not a must, but what we're telling people is this, in order to get all that dander, we're not hyperallergenic. We shed skin cells. So people think, oh, it's just a dog that sheds dander or a cat. That's not true. People shed it too. And so when you accumulate all these skin cells, the dust might say, hey, I'm going to have a party here. It's like chocolate cake for them. So you give them a little humidity, you give them some skin cell, and they say, I'm going to hang out. So just vacuuming a lot. And I think this goes back to spring cleaning. Change your filters, your bags on your vacuum. This is a great time to do it. Take the vacuum outside. Don't take it apart in the house. Take it apart, do all your nitty gritty cleaning because it does need to be cleaned in there. Take the filter out, make sure your pre-filters change, make sure your HEPA filters change, your bags change, and wipe out the inside of the vacuum. Do that now. It's a great outside project. You can sit outside, get a little sun, and, you know, get something done too.
I have to say, I have a small, you know, in the New York City apartment, we have a small kind of not very good, but does the job-ish, bagless vacuum cleaner, and I hate it because I have to clean the vacuum every time I use it. And the whole point of having a vacuum cleaner is not to have to clean everything, but because it's bagless, I have to empty all the dust from the container that it's been sucked into. Then I have to clean that out. Then I wash the filter every time I use it, and it's just like kind of a pain. I'd much rather have a bag.
Yeah, I'm not a big fan. I like the bags, and there's reasons for that. And also, you need to make sure everyone needs a HEPA vacuum. It's got to have a HEPA filter on it. You need a sealed system. So I prefer vacuums and canisters and uprights that have a sealed system. So you're not blowing this debris back out into the space, because that's what happens. People open it up in the house, and then you've defeated your purpose. So make sure you try, if you can get a vacuum, make sure it's a sealed system and HEPA.
And HEPA. Now, what happens? And I'm asking you so many questions, but I think they're common questions. And folks, if you have any questions you want to ask, give us a call, 1-877-NYU-DOCS. It's 877-698-3627. I am speaking with Caroline Blazovsky. She is our healthy home expert. You can check out her website at healthyhomeexpert.com. And you can follow her on Twitter at healthyhomeexp. Is it exp or expert?
Yeah, I think they cut us off. They just allowed us to have Healthy Home X, but if you put in Healthy Home Expert, we come in. And Facebook, Instagram, we're on all of them.
So you're on all of them.
My Healthy Home or Healthy Home Expert, they can find us.
One of the things that I see is when you pull a box up from the basement, maybe even the attic and or the garage, you'll see maybe a watermark a little bit on the bottom, those little bit of dots of mold. Maybe you've put some of your summer or spring clothes in a box in there or some summer kids' toys. I mean, what do we need to look for when we're kind of unpacking as we change seasons? Because I think some people, you know, don't have tons of space, so they sort of switch things up back and forth.
If you're seeing mold, then that's a bad sign. So you should definitely, one, do a mold test. You can do one yourself. You can do the Examinair. It's examinair.com. So you can do a mold analysis and allergen, which would be good. You don't want to see any growth. If you're seeing white spots, black spots, that's all microbial growth, and that can really lead to inflammation in the body and then contribute to other health issues. So that should not be. If you're seeing water stains, that's a definitive, like, hey, something's up, we're condensating here, or you've actually had water infiltration. So you should look into that. Making sure you're keeping your home and your wherever you're storing things, relative humidity must stay between 30 and 55%. This is going to help. No dust mites, but dust mites can't form if it's over 50, if under 55% relative humidity. So if you keep your RH down in your home, you're going to have less problems with dust mites. You're going to have less bugs. You're going to have less mold. All of these things need humidity and moisture to thrive. So if you have a storage area, put a dehumidifier in there. Make sure you're keeping it between 30 and 55%, and then you're not going to have all that mold and condensation, and your stuff is going to be A-okay.
Yeah, I have to say that made a difference in my basement. It had that kind of musty smell, and there's this weird wooden structure down there that was there when I moved in that had mold on it. And when I cleaned it all off and I got a good dehumidifier, it all stopped. It all went away. The smell went away. The, you know, how it infiltrates your clothes and everything that's down there because your washing machine is down there. It fixed it right away. So you don't have to spend a lot of money to do that. So that's a good
and that
plus.
Smell is a VOC. Getting back to VOCs and chemical compounds, molds actually produce VOCs, or what we call MVOCs, like mold VOC. Mm-hmm. That's what makes molds bad, because they can produce a protein that can make us have allergies. They can produce inflammation from beta glucans that they carry. They can produce VOCs or chemical compounds. And they can also produce mycotoxin, which can be carcinogenic and also be a neurotoxin. So mold, you don't want it there. It's not a good thing to have. It suppresses your immune system. And we've also seen studies coming out now that showed people who had exposure to mold and also had exposure to COVID-19 were much more likely to get pneumonia. So it's important to keep your environment good. You know, it's mold is not something you want in there, for sure. You should be testing. This is a great time. Test your house for mold. See what you have. Make sure going into the spring you don't have anything that's a problem.
So I know you're busy, and we're almost done with the segment. One final question. If you have mold, and can you clean it yourself? If you see it on your walls, if you see it on a dish rag, should we just throw out those dish rags? What do we wipe our walls with?
Yeah. So if you see growth on something and it can't be cleaned, whether it's like, it's not a porous surface, you know, it's something that you can wipe down, then you can try to clean it, or something that can be washed. But if it's not, then you really have to rip it out and remove it or throw it out. So like paper boxes, if you start to get cardboard boxes that have stuff on it, that needs to go. So you don't want to store things that are moldy. And then make sure, of course, that, if you have anything that's over 10 square feet and you start to notice you have a significant problem, then you call an expert, you know, call someone like us, an environmental consultant or a remediation company for sure.
Caroline Blazovsky. You are awesome. Thank you. You are such well of knowledge, and I'm so glad you joined me today. I've missed you.
I know. We'll have to do it again sooner than later. We have so much we could talk about, and definitely this new technology coming out is amazing. So I'm very happy to see it, because we've been long overdue for filtration. We've had a lot of issues. You know, I talk about filters, and a lot of the time they have a byproduct to them, right? So a lot of these technologies we have, we put them in to do something good, and we end up with a bad byproduct. So I really like this technology that's out, and I think it's going to be good for all of us moving forward. So,
and listeners can find out about that at your website, healthyhomeexpert.com.
Yeah. And they can also go to a website called ivpair.com.
Okay.
So IVP is the new technology. Yep.
ivpair.com. All right. Thank you so much. I hope you have a fabulous weekend.
You too. Happy Easter, everyone. Enjoy the weather. It's going to be warmer.
Thank yes, I hope so. Happy Easter and Passover. We're getting close to that 10-day mark for those celebrating Passover, and you can have your bagels soon enough. We're going to take our last break of the show today. Remember, during this break, it's our combo break. We sit up straight. We take a deep breath. This is my in-breath. This is my out-breath. Do that at your own pace. Shoulders down. Shake out your hands. Relax your face and jaw.